from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
I don't know what it is, but is there a part of you that wishes to remain anonymous? Because, you know, I get fans of the show letting me know that they always like when you're on, despite the fact that you know, we talk bullshit about you on the other shows. just nothing but trash talk, man.
I've heard those. They're nice. Oh. It's okay. I'm a bit of a you know.
Wait, you listen to the show?
Sometimes. If I think my name is going to be mentioned, because I don't. See, the thing is I don't care if you bash me. As long as I'm hurting my name, I'm like, that's me they want to kill.
That's awesome.
That's me. You know that guy they think really sucks and is fucking stupid? That's me.
That's fucking me, man.
That's right. And I beat
that guy.
You to an F-bomb.
You had to beat me to an F-bomb.
I did beat you to an F-bomb.
Now, I want to remind you that you have to talk into these things.
Oh, yeah. I have
so,
this crazy...
I know. Here's the thing. For people who obviously don't watch the secret cam videos, for the... super bonus members,
$50 a year.
50? Come on now. I think a blue night
for the performance. A blue night.
A blue night cam goes for a little bit more than $50 a year. I would hope. Mm. I don't know. I've never paid for pornography.
Yeah, the internet kind of. I don't.
Paying for things?
That's it. It's like
who does that?
Who buys those magazines on the top shelf? Not I, Mister.
I want to know what happens to the porn industry when the baby boomers, you know, die. And Christians stop, you know, downloading all that porn, because I think it's fairly obvious now.
Christians don't download porn.
Well, didn't you? You may not have remembered this, but a couple of months back, I wrote something about a new poll that had shown that states that have higher religious rates also buy much more pornography. The conservatives were more likely to purchase pornography than others, and I think it's just probably the reason. You know those stupid stereotype that everybody jokes about that.
They can't get
Christian me. Guy that's really sort of like really religious, but secretly he's a pervert. You know, you remember you watch those movies, you're like, this is stupid. No one's like this.
Oh, I think they are.
The stereotype exists for a very, very, very good reason. Because there's a lot of people that are sexually repressed because of religion. Yeah.
No.
And
no.
And, you know, the whole shame thing, masturbation thing, I believe the Catholics are quite acclimatized to that. So Protestants... You know, you can just borrow that degree, their shame. Like, you also don't like to play with a putty. That's something you share in common, you know? The Puritans. I love this notion that everybody has, that Catholics are supposed to be the really conservative, orthodox type, and Protestants, so they're reformists. So obviously they're going to be... You know,
more freewheeling.
Yeah, they're like, well, Martin Luther, he married, and that was the big controversy. That's what... That's where Presbyterianism started. It's just Martin Luther basically declares that he's not going to follow the church anymore. He's like, follow me now. We're just going to have independent churches, no organized structure, and most importantly, we can marry. And there must have been a revolution that day.
The audience can't see the crazy like ferocity that was in your eyes just 2 seconds. Like, marry!
I'm a ferocious man.
They're crazy.
I like to try to keep the entertainment value high through ferocity.
Ferocity.
Pure, unadulterated ferocity. But you know what's funny, actually? Like, we look at popes now and their vows of celibacy, and we take these things
and
for...
And their resemblance to Star Wars villains.
Yeah, true. We take that, too. But we look at these priests, and we're like, these guys aren't really having sex. They told me they're not.
Yeah.
Clearly, no one is having sex in the priesthood.
That guy with the big phallic-shaped hat, he's not having sex.
No one's having sex. And, you know, I've loved throughout the centuries just, you know, the constant stories of popes' illegitimate children popping up all over the place. And you're never surprised. You're like, did that guy really want to have sex with that woman? And he probably did. He probably struggled with that. He's like, why, God? Why do you make my loins burn when she is close?
Fair enough.
And he must have had a rough day, you know? Like, after that happened, that moment of shame.
Yeah.
You familiar with a moment of shame after sex?
No, I guess
you're a lucky
I'm
man.
Already,
you're a lucky man.
I do plenty of shameful things during sex, so I'm not too
shameful things.
Yeah, I'm pretty much like
you're deviant.
Is this the
this
like,
is not the we're grilling you in your sex life thing though. You don't need to worry about that.
I wanted to talk about it.
Let's not.
Come on.
Let's not really.
I could get at least another 2 subscribers out of this. I'm like, pass it on. He's going to talk about the gay sex.
It's true. It's true. I think we could get that. Now, for those of you who are new to the podcast, perhaps you do not know that Jeff is our resident expert on all things homosexual. We like to call him the gaytheist here.
I like that term. I like it a lot. I think it's been taken.
It has been taken.
But
so what? You know, if somebody the good atheist was also taken before I took it. I stole that.
You stole it?
No, I didn't really steal it.
You don't have any morals?
I don't have any morals.
That's why you need Jesus.
That's why when I was asked the other day, do you own a Bible? And I had to honestly reply, I stole mine.
You know, it's
but
true.
I'm not a good man.
No, it's just you're good at being. Isn't it just you're good at being an atheist?
Oh yeah,
like,
absolutely.
That's what it is.
Oh, that's what I'm good at.
Yeah,
but otherwise, yeah. If it wasn't for my atheism, everybody would be fucking dead right now. Fucking, that's the only thing that stops me from being a murderous monster. These are some of the comments that I've read actually in Atheist Revolution. I like their site; it's a good site.
I shall have to check it out.
I get mentioned on there, so I find that they're good.
Oh, so
I'm like, thank you.
Thank
so
you for
much.
Mentioning me on your website. Do
it can be a little bit tough. I don't know. There is a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of sharing going on sometimes with some of these blogs, but I kind of understand why. There's a bit of a competitive nature. We're competitive people.
Yeah, and of course the whole, you know, herding cats.
Herding cats, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the
yeah.
that
herding sheep
I mean,
is kind of easy.
Well, if you want to herd cats, I mean, is there anything more catty than a bunch of bloggers? You know.
Oh, snizzap. Damn.
So I've always found myself schooled. That I really don't like if I see a site no matter how just noobish or if it's got one page and that's all there is, if that's where I saw it, I'm like, I will link to it because it's something of interest.
Yeah.
That's what the whole internet is about. I mean, I don't think that you lose anyone by suggesting other sites.
No.
As long as you have a quality site, it should be all good, right?
It should support itself. That's what I would say. What I would assume.
How many real hours do you spend browsing your favorite sites?
My favorite sites?
Yeah, like your list. I don't know if you've got a, you know, how big is your list of favorite sites?
Honestly, I don't use too many. My favorite sites would probably be like I check my own, and then I check yours, and then there's I'm such a geek. There's like the game trailers and the
I check
zero
those
punctuation
oh, yeah,
and
fuck.
the
basically
nerd
the gaming the gamer aspect of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm also a horrible kind of a complete nerd when it comes to that kind of thing. Actually, that's true. Actually,
not a nerd.
I was like, yeah, we were discussing like Battletoads and Super Mario Brothers in the last.
I gave everybody a warning about that.
Oh yeah,
we used that as an example. I thought it was a good example.
The Battletoads?
Yeah.
I forget what the context. I guess we can just go back.
They can go back.
Yeah.
Go back.
It's available.
It's two shows back.
It's
two
only
bonus
two?
Shows.
Really?
Back.
It's like every other bonus show I should participate in.
I guess that'll respond.
Come on,
that,
fans,
I guess that'll depend
talk
on the response.
Me
now
up.
The one thing I wanted to bring you upon bring you on to talk to everybody about is something called DOMA. Now you linked this to me. I did not know what it was. I did try to read some of it, but you know, it's like honestly one of those things that I cannot delve myself too deeply in. But I thought, well, here's someone who has a passion for it. They can come on and explain it to me because I'm very confused. Tell me, what is DOMA?
DOMA is the defense of. It's an American act. Came around in 1996. It's the Defense of Marriage Act. Basically, how it happened was that back in '93 there was some talk. In Hawaii, people were making a stir about considering gay marriage, considering actually making it legitimate or just opening the floor to discussion.
Right,
all
right.
And people got friggin' scared, and they're like, oh, well, we can't...
We gotta do something.
We have to do something. So basically, they passed in 96, I think it was the Clinton administration that passed it, that... The Defense of Marriage Act. And basically what it says, it's got two, let's say...
Clauses?
Main clauses.
Right.
Because under the Constitution, there's this I forget what they're called, acts or
bills?
Bills, I don't know. It
doesn't matter.
It states that any agreement or any contract that's valid in one state is viewed as valid.
So property rights on vehicles.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically like
homeownership, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Like, so you can't like leave the state and have your contracts or your agreements null and void, and marriage falls under that. But to make sure that, you know, if there were any homos getting married in Hawaii, that it would never, you know,
well,
they
you
wouldn't
want that.
No, not
in Hawaii.
Not Hawaiians.
Could you imagine what happened to the tourism industry if there were, if the gays took over Hawaii? Actually, I want the gays to take over Hawaii.
Well, I think we're already halfway there. I mean, those leis are pretty fabulous.
My whole point is that Hawaii is just, I don't want to go to Hawaii. And everybody's always saying, let's go to Hawaii. I'm just saying, let the gays have Hawaii. I don't want to go to Hawaii. Let it be like the Ibiza.
My knowledge of Hawaii stems from Lilo and Stitch.
Mine too. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, apart from that, and the fact that everyone tells me that it is a tourist trap.
Yeah, well, duh.
Who would know? Do you? Duh, but exactly. Like, the last thing that I would want to do, especially if I ever got married and shit like that, would be to go to Hawaii. I'm like, yeah, I have no imagination. Let me go to Hawaii. I'm also gonna go to
honeymoon.
Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah.
In Paris, because I have no fucking imagination.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, so getting back to the story, it was basically it was in an effort to quarantine gay marriages to like the individual states where they took place. Basically what it said, it's that it only recognizes marriage between one man and one woman. That's it. That's all. Regardless of what the other state.
So this is an interstate agreement.
Yeah. Basically it's like a federal act. That's like, you can't, actually the second condition is, the federal government doesn't recognize same-sex marriages, like, or same-sex relationships, even if they're counted as marriages.
So
basically what it's saying is that
it's on a federal level.
Yeah, if you need to go to like federal court over anything, or you know, just you're out of luck. Sorry.
It's like you were just butt buddies.
Kinda. Yeah. Well,
yeah, they should have called it the Butt Buddies Act.
Well, you have to understand, it wasn't just to, and you can't tell, I'm being very sarcastic, it wasn't just to prevent gay marriage.
Oh,
it was
sarcastic Jeff.
It was to prevent the marriage of children and of incest.
You know, it's a serious problem.
Seriously,
let's get some laws over there.
I think there should be a law saying, you know, passed to protect 16-year-olds from marrying their uncles.
There are already laws that
you
prevent
don't,
you from
you
the,
don't
from
say.
That. It's
really?
True. It's true.
Really?
No
huh.
new law was needed
huh.
on those fronts.
I find
so
that
I
fascinating.
I
wonder
tell
if
you,
they knew that when they wrote that act.
I got to tell you, I think they did.
Hmm.
But I can't speak for them.
No.
So what? Why is DOMA being in the news? What is the news now? Like, there's something that's happened, too. I got an email. There's somebody else involved now. It's come back to the surface.
It's
sludged its way back up.
It has. Well, there was always an argument that it violated the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution, which was states honored in one province, or contracts clauses honored in one state had to be honored in any state.
Right.
And that was like a big violation. It was like, no, this makes it not the case for gay marriage. Lo and behold, someone who's not Pat Robertson helps release this document, because there was a court case that was generated as a result of DOMA being unconstitutional and illegal. And while I can't argue the legality of the case, it was actually Barack Obama, our ally, and friend. No, well, there was a bit of eye rolling there. Radio. I got to remember, I'm on the radio. The interwebs radio. It's the microphones.
You're on the microphones.
I'm on the microphones.
You're on the webs, I guess.
I'm on the intertubes.
Yeah, the intertubes.
Yeah, all six of them. Okay. So yeah, what I was saying is, so Obama's people, his administration intervened, and they published this document saying, okay, well, they don't have a leg to stand on, and that's bad enough. But to add insult to injury, this is like a 54-page document, and they basically.
It's ensconced in legalese.
Oh, it really is. I had to like read over it like so many times, and even then I'm just like, what is being said here? But it goes on to argue how any further attempts to like
deal with the issue,
the legality of the DOMA Act, are pretty much not going to be recognized or a big waste of time.
You know what that is? It sounds like a giant force field.
Force field's up? It is.
It's like a force field made of legal documents that don't mean anything.
That's it. It's basically like, well, no.
It's paper. We're not gonna, shield.
This can't, exactly. This can't go to the Supreme Court. This can't go to anything. It's been said. It was... No.
They have decreed.
Decreed.
It has been decided.
It's been
it's an
been
executive decision.
Me. There you go.
Throw up the executive shield.
But basically, so what's happening now is that's bad enough, but the wording it defends DOMA as protecting children from being married by like their parents or by abuse of minors.
It's pretty much, I think I would just say it's because of Texas. That's the answer. It's because of Texas. What goes on in Texas?
State.
Crazy State. Contracts going on in Texas between a man and his daughters.
And his dog.
And his daughter's dog.
Anyway, so yeah, that's where it is now. Is basically this huge. There's a huge shitstorm in the gay blogosphere, or even just civil rights blogospheres. I think everybody's sort of picked up on it because one of his platforms was that he was like, well, no, DOMA is unconstitutional, and I'm going to work to.
This is him just going back on his word 100%.
Flip-flopping, pretty much. Yeah, exactly.
Ouch.
Yep.
But this was the one issue that Obama used to try to get homosexuals on his side?
This would be probably the biggest one, because that was the biggest barriers to the whole gay marriage issue or many equal rights issues in general is the defense of marriage.
Well, I guess it's just because there are a few states where that's recognized. So as soon as DOMA is obliterated, all other states would have to recognize gay marriage.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. And you want to make sure that you can't do that. So that's where DOMA.
They sealed that motherfucker up.
Pretty much.
But I think that they should have just said it's because of Texas.
Sure, but
if I can find that ridiculous song, they do it better in Texas.
I don't know that. It may shock you to know I don't know many country songs.
You don't listen to a lot of country?
I'm gonna say Shania Twain.
Yeah, that's new country.
Yeah, that's about
that's country's take on pop culture.
It's pretty much pop with a cowboy hat.
It's pop with a twang machine.
There you go.
I fucking hate that twang.
Sometimes it works, but it makes me think of like Alan.
My limit
Jackson.
Is about Nico Case in terms of how country you get. You get more
isn't
country
she more
than that.
Folksy?
I don't even know what the fuck the difference is, and I don't care. So here's something that I read you sent me. It was basically saying that some of the arguments that they had used.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Was that it was going to save the state money?
Yeah.
Now,
how
does that save? How does it work? How would they save money under this?
I'm still trying to understand how they would save money. Basically, from what I understood of the document, it's that in not having to deal with like gay marriage, you don't have to use up valuable resources that could be used on other projects. So basically, it's like, well, yeah, but this money could be better spent elsewhere. So.
I thought they were going to say that...
Back into the closet with you.
I thought they were going to say something like, well, if these two... If one of the partners dies, leave it to their spouse, so we can just take it. We can take
all
those
assets. That would be entirely possible. I hadn't thought of it until... I'm not nearly as jaded as you yet, but I'm getting there.
Well, dude...
I'm getting there at a friggin' lightning fast clip.
I think I have a negative influence. I think
I think it's less that you're jading me and more that the more that I read about stuff, the more... difficult it is for me to not be outraged and like depressed at the same time. Like,
I think it's just because so many people don't know these facts.
Seriously, well,
and that's what outrages you. You're like, the more that you get the facts out, the more people are outraged. This leads me to another thing that I wanted to talk about, which was actually about an article that I wrote called "No More Mr. Nice Guy." You know, like the song. I think I'm gonna try to find that song. No more Mr. Nice Guy. You know that song? No.
It rings a bell, but I don't.
Anyways, the article is essentially a summary that I'm like that I agreed with some of the blogs that had put out put the word out there that they we really don't want to be timid anymore because timidity doesn't give you anything.
No.
No. Like, there are no quiet people in history.
No, it's the
loud ones that make themselves known. And you know, I believe in large part the reason why the atheist movement has been so large is because people have stopped being polite about what's going on. And I don't, and you know, that there will always be room for the quiet and polite ones. They
discourse.
I think for the large part, they can probably excuse much of the behavior that I do.
Well, the thing,
my
the,
swearing.
Well, the thing is that can be reserved for like conversations with your friends and whatever, but like really you've got to shake it up a little bit when you're talking with, like, look, it's certain issues, whether it's religious or, you know, if speaking of the Doma thing, like,
well, I'm gonna have
people have to raise their voice a little bit.
Have a little bit of vitriol, and you're all gonna listen.
Sometimes it's unfortunate, but sometimes you can't win a war with words. Well, with soft words,
please be nice.
Yeah, stop beating up on me, please. Don't steal my lunch money. I won't defend myself, but please don't steal it.
And you know what? For me, another thing too is that everybody wants us to kind of play nice, and I can't, specifically for a few reasons. I have noticed recently how politeness has become an excuse to no longer have a fucking important dialogue. An individual's going to be like, you need to respect my beliefs.
Man.
Yeah, it's exactly it. So that instantly silences the conversation when a person's saying, well, you're not being polite, and I'm saying to you that the debate process is not necessarily going to be a polite process.
Yeah.
Because, and here's the other thing, too. I feel that to a large degree, there's language is being masked or being twisted so that a person who appears polite is actually saying some really horrible stuff. Let me give you an example. If I say, Jeff, I believe that you are a godless fag who's going to burn in hell because you're a piece of shit, but Jesus loves you, I feel good about myself. Like, I let that piece of shit know that Jesus loves him, and Jesus will always love him.
You did your part.
I did my part. Yeah. I don't need to be good. Jesus is good for me.
Yeah.
And you know that phrase, like, anytime a person begins or ends a phrase with, you know, but Jesus loves you,
you need to be afraid
of what they're going to say.
It's not for me to judge. It's not for me to judge, but you're a filthy
let me do it. Anyways.
Yeah, but since Jesus isn't here, let me tell you what he would think of you.
He's not here to speak. I'm his avatar.
He's coming into about 2,000 years.
I'm like, you know what? I don't care what the fuck Jesus thinks, and I really don't care what you do.
I'm not talking to Jesus. I'm talking to you.
I'm just having a conversation with another human being. I don't need you to bring a supernatural entity to tell me that I'm a fucking piece of shit, but that he loves me. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't appreciate being called any of these things.
Exactly. Well, the other thing is like, you don't. What kind of shameful, like, friggin' conditional love is that? Like, he'll love you if you toe the line. Like,
well, you know, I guess for them, the spirit of redemption is always like the big thing about Christianity.
Yeah.
No matter how much you fuck up, you can always be redeemed, and they get off on that.
But they get off.
They're like, we have the perfect answer. Human beings screw up all the time, but with this awesome dude, he will eschew into heaven, but all you got to do is unconditionally surrender to him.
Here's something that I never understood, though, about that, especially like, because sometimes when I'm walking, it's happened twice now that someone will proselytize to me while I'm walking down the street about Jesus.
Oh yeah.
Or perfect example.
I love what happens to
the
me.
The way of the master there.
Oh yes.
And how he's like blah blah blah, and I'm like, okay, so basically what you're saying is believe in this guy who thinks that you've broken all the rules and then do this to be forgiven by him. I'm like, I can just not believe in him.
Well, there's like, it's a bit of that middleman shit.
This is the thing.
You know what? You are one step of the ladder that I'm just going to kind of bypass.
Well, that's it. It's like, you're the one telling me I'm a piece of shit. Why do I need to not, like, why do I need to prove myself to you? Like,
but if you think about it, a lot of our lives or a lot of people's lives are really dictated by that kind of relationship. I mean, think about how many individuals that are currently listening even right now feel paralyzed because their parents do not approve of who they are. Mm-hmm. And because they don't approve of who they are, like, they feel a sort of sense of guilt, right? They're like, oh, I wish I wish that my parents would approve. And then they decide that they're going to dedicate their lives to seeking that. And it is impossible because for some individuals, you cannot please them. All right. There is something perhaps broken about them, tragically so, where they are so jaded about life that they believe that you will only fail. And these are not individuals that you should be listening to. They have a fucking negative attitude and you need to distance yourself from them. You can love someone, but obviously not admonish or listen to everything they say.
Yeah.
And when a person shits on you, that's definitely the last time you should be listening to them, even if you really care about them, because there is no reason to destroy the hopes and dreams of people. Like, what is wrong with certain individuals? I just feel that there is this crushing attitude, and Jesus represents the ultimate kind of he will never quite approve of everything I do, but at least he loves me. And I'm like, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
That is not good enough.
Well, I mean, look at, I'm about to lose my train of thought. I'm trying to grab it.
You lost it? You're giving me this?
It's gone.
You know what that means? That means that that's extra work for me to edit out.
You don't have to edit that. Spontaneous.
I'm sure.
The bonus show gets everything.
They get everything.
They get all.
They get that brain fire where you're like, man, I had the best point.
I had the best argument.
See you guys next week.
Yeah, exactly. I'll come up with, I'll take notes. See, this is what happens. I don't get to prep too much, so like I can't punctuate my thoughts as much as I'd like. It's like, okay, let's go, let's talk. I'm like, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I don't live and breathe atheism. I try to keep. Oh, actually,
this isn't the only thing I do.
No, that's true. You do play Saints Row.
No, I have an entire other show.
Oh,
that
right.
I do on Mixed Martial Art. I do two of those a week as well. There are two different sides
right.
to this man.
It's true.
MMA and atheism. It's yes.
True.
This is a popular.
Oh, I was trying to equate it to an abusive relationship. That's what it was.
Okay.
There was some point that I was making, like, you know.
That
someone's...
sounds good.
Yeah.
I like that point. Relationships. Abusive.
An abusive
relationship. Excellent.
Yes.
We've learned.
I'll see you next week, guys.
We've learned something this day.
On this, my final podcast.
It was a pretty good insight, I think.
No, but it's the whole, like, if the same thing with Jesus. If he's just gonna beat you down the whole time, then why should you even strive to be forgiven by this person? If no one else was really doing it, then, you know, if no one else cared except this one person, then why is he so crucial? Oh, wait, he's the Son of God, right? That's the whole angle. Yeah.
I think it's also quite funny, and this will kind of lead me in the last thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Which was this whole discussion that I get every time I put a story about Jesus or something like that. And I, you know me, I like, I'm a shit kicker. So once in a while, I'll just say, you know, that historical figure, Jesus. And of course, because some Christians feel the need to go on atheist sites and tell people that they are wrong.
I find that like the weirdest phenomenon. Like if you're, you know.
Well, there are atheists who probably go on Christian sites and tell them they're wrong.
There are.
And
they're not true atheists.
That's for an entire other podcast. But we will talk about that particular issue later. But let's continue on the specifics of this thread. But what else were you gonna say about this?
Oh, I was just gonna interject that also on the same token, side of that. It doesn't matter to religious people, a lot of times it doesn't matter how good a person is. If they're not Christian, it's almost all null and void. That was the other...
Right, okay.
That was, yeah.
For the most part...
Too much hype for not enough delivery in there.
I wrote an article that I wanted some of the visitors of the site to sort of see, which was basically saying, like, okay, look, I understand that you want really hard for the evidence of Jesus to be overwhelming, for every historian to sort of accept this as true. And then that somehow lays the foundation for you to believe, well, if Jesus existed, then the New Testament was real. If the New Testament was real, it prophesies the Old Testament. If the Old Testament is real, then the Bible is the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And there you go. We have ourselves a manual. And that's basically how you'd love to see it. And it's a tight little package when you present it that way. But it is unfortunately a logical, you know, slippery slope if you've ever heard one. Number one, I mean... The rules for evidence of what you consider to say, well, I will accept that this historical figure existed and this historical figure did not exist. And, you know, once in a while people will pop up, say in mythology, you're looking at, did Achilles exist? All right. This is a question because he is in a mythical tome in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, the story of Troy, I mean, has some basis in history, but how much of it are historically based and how much of it are dramatizations? Like these are interpretations of events, so they're obviously going to be very flawed. So you're wondering, okay, of his existence, and one of the best ways to do that is you need corroborating evidence. Stories. You know, like you need, okay, what did this guy say about it? Were there any other sources that mentioned him? And, you know, sometimes you can find writings just... you know, the basic documents, contracts sometimes that people had. I mean, you know, for as long as humans have had writing, we have had contracts. You know, that's just kind of the nature of it. We have laws. We move towards lawfulness because we require contracts, apparently. Otherwise, chaos. Well, that's the real chaos. If we lose the lawyers, we lose everything. Back up for a second. I want to go back to what we were talking about before, which was...
Okay.
People who decide to go on the site and,
okay,
and post.
Right.
So I was basically talking about the rules for evidence of what you consider to be historically true, and when you look at Jesus, the evidence is, I mean, you want to talk scant. I mean, there are maybe two or three historians that mention anyone that would fit the description of Jesus, but is never named. A figure is apparently mentioned, Christus. But all that means is the anointed one, like a mystical figure that's supposed to be messianic. I mean, I don't doubt that there were many individuals that were considered messiahs at the time. There were thousands. There was a plague of messiahs. There were so many.
Okay.
I mean, that's why, like, the likeliest candidate, I feel, if you're going to talk about Jesus, is a guy like, say, Apollonius, right?
Or there's, like, Mithra as well, right?
Well, I mean, those are older
or
stories.
Like
I think in terms
hero
of...
hero figures, let's say.
Yeah, hero figures have a similar story. I would say that the story of Jesus Christ, for instance, mm-hmm. is an obvious fabrication because it follows the common rules that you have in all hero stories. He is born of a king. You know, he returns to the city to claim the throne. He is... born on the 25th of December or during the...
The
winter solstice. Resurrect died on the vernal equinox and raised 3 days later on a hill, on a cross.
Yeah.
I mean, this is obviously mythology from different elements. I mean, when you understand the history of how stories work, and you also understand what kind of evidence do you have of a person's life? I mean, you can say, well, Jesus existed, but are the events of the Bible accurate? I'm like, what, are you kidding me? I mean, like, are the events of, you know, the story of Hercules, do you think this is a real story?
Right.
Hercules was probably a real guy, but I don't think he was born of a god, and he didn't kill any snakes when he was a baby.
No.
And, you know,
he didn't fight the Hydra either, did he?
I think the only thing he probably did was he probably did go crazy and murdered his wife and children. Like, he probably did that for real. That's what actually Hercules does.
Really?
Way. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, he kills his wife and
Disney kids. Disney does not...
Yeah, you know what? I watched that movie the other day, the Hercules movie. It sucks. I mean, it sucks balls.
I'm not a big fan of it.
It's really not good.
No.
I mean, the animation is crappy. The voice work is crappy. The girl, I don't even remember her name.
Oh,
awful.
God.
The only thing that's...
Megara or Meg, I think.
Who
or
cares?
Whatever. Yeah,
it was a terrible movie. The only one that kind of saved it almost was James Woods, but he was trying to pull something out of head. I mean, Bobcat
Goldthwait
was on that. It was
awful. He? Oh yeah, he was like
one of those
Pain
little
and
demons.
Panic there, one of those two.
I mean, they don't even
watch way too many cartoons.
You watch too many cartoons. This is terrible. But let's go back to the whole
point.
Back to the Jesus
historical
things.
Existence.
Yeah, I mean, you have to understand the difference between mythology and
history.
Real events of history. And when you look at, say, the claims that he was arrested, you know, by Pontius Pilate and stuff like that. And there is no indication that anything of the sort happened. There's no trial. There's no criminal. I think it's Beelzebub, or I forget what his name is. It's basically because before Jesus is killed, the Jews are given a choice: either kill Jesus or release this known murderer.
Oh,
I don't remember the name of the murderer. I think it's Beelzebub. No, wait, that's not.
No, that's like another.
I don't remember.
But anyway,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know the story.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to get
I'm sure
somebody's going to say, "You really didn't do your research, Jake." I'm sorry. Sometimes when you have a conversation, you got to pull names out of your head, and it is not 100%. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'll forgive you this time.
But anyways, there's no records of this at all. Just there is none.
Right.
And obviously, you would expect them if the stories were true. So there is no corroboration that the stories of the Bible are true. And that's the most important thing, because outside of the Bible, no evidence of any claims. A historian can say, yes, a man by the name of Jesus existed, But that is it. There is no corroborating any of the stories of the Bible, and therefore, I'm like, I'm sorry. That classifies as mythology, particularly when you look at all the elements. Not only the elements that conflict, say, Luke and Matthew's genealogy, which don't fucking match. That's a big problem here. Oh, no. They, you know what the creative dancing around that is?
Is this the one where, like, the devil went back in time and...
No. This one's a lot simpler. Or... They say, like, the reason there's discrepancies is, like, well, one's the bloodline of Mary and the other is of Joseph. And I'm like, well, he wasn't fucking born a Joseph, so
yeah,
why would
Joseph's
you even
anything.
Why would you even care?
Yeah, Joseph. Care? Joseph got really screwed over.
I'm sure he probably was the dad, but when you're the son of a god, you know, there's no room for the dad.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even that originally. I mean, the only reason why it is the born of a virgin actually is, from what I understand historically, was because of a typo in some of the copying between ancient Greek and ancient Latin.
What?
It was supposed to be young maiden gave birth to a king, but it was young virgin. And that basically... remember that whole Council of Nicaea, Nicene Creed, when everyone decided what is it that we believe?
Right.
Well, there's obviously going to be lots of different canonical books that are going to try to explain how all the mythology fits together. Because remember, everyone, this is mythology. Okay, so when
there's
you decide to say
many different writers,
there are many different writers, many different interpretations. Because you're going to take a classic character like the character of Jesus, and you're obviously going to want to expound on his life because you're making this shit up. You can say anything you want. He turned some people into goats. I mean, there's some Gnostic gospels that claim that he was a giant little prick. So
did I just say Jesus was a shit?
Jesus was a shit. At least in the Gnostic gospels.
Oh,
what? You think the fundies are still listening to the show at this point?
No,
I think they've been scared away.
They've tuned out.
They've been scared away. All right. Like, if you're listening to this, my only question to you is why? Yeah. Why are you listening to this? This is not for you. You need to listen to the Fundy Show, the one that says that, you know, Taylor is burning in hell or those kinds of things.
Like Matthew Shepard stuff. What is that like for how many, like, what X minus eternity is still eternity?
That is fucking twisting it right there in the wound.
Yeah, but to be fair, that's the Westboro Baptist Church. I think in terms of radicals, they rank like a league ahead,
They could teach us a thing or two about radicalism.
About hatred.
About hatred.
Yeah.
All right, with that, you know what? We'll just wrap up the show with that. I just felt the need to point out to everybody that if you're going to come on the site and just tell me that there is a historical evidence for Jesus, I'm going to remind you that there is no historical evidence for any of the deeds that are in the Bible, and it's kind of the whole thing you kind of need to prove. I mean, you want to tell me that a guy really existed? I'm not going to pray to Achilles, all right? Sure, he was a great warrior, and maybe he was the son of a god, but you know what? He's not my bag. He is not my bag, and I'm not going to take your fairy tale literally. Like, get off my back. You know, just don't think that you have a solution that I have somehow not thought about. I've read the book. Personally, I found it was kind of tasteless.
I read some of it. It gets really dry and boring. Like, I can't blame
people
for
skipping most of Genesis. Do yourself that favor.
Yeah.
You know, the Begat stuff?
The Begat.
Up to, like, 900 of them or something fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Not anything you need to
lull you into that weird state. It's almost like hypnotic. Begat, you will believe
it's
everything.
Like, why does anybody need to memorize it? Anyone that really is going to want to memorize all
that? What did half of those guys do?
Nothing.
Exactly.
All they did was
they had kids.
They fucked.
That's
they had
it.
Children. They successfully passed on their seed. Congratulations. Yeah. You got a fucking footnote. You were in the credits of the Bible. That's what you were in. You know? As breeders. You did good. You did good. All right. With that, we will catch you on Friday. I think I'm going to actually have a special guest because Ryan's going on a trip. So it's two shows without Ryan. So hopefully no one will flip out.